Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a wonderful privilege this morning to share about a topic that's dear to my own heart. And this is my topic. My topic is, what is the normal Christian life? What does it mean to be a normal Christian? You know, I want us to go to the first epistle of John and listen to John as he explains the basic essentials of being a Christian. And what is that basic essentials? It is firstly, believing. Secondly, proclaiming. Fellowship and joy. Let me repeat that. What is the normal Christian life? It is believing, proclaiming, it is fellowship, living for Christ, and it is about joy, real joy. So the Christian life starts off by believing in Christ. It is all about a true saving knowledge of Christ. We need to understand who is Christ. We need to understand what has He done. And then, friends, we need to know Him personally as your Savior and Lord. You know, to be a Christian involves the head and the heart. There's understanding, and then there is embracing. And as I was preparing for this sermon, it came to my mind, friends, do you remember? Can you remember the first time that the Holy Spirit started His convicting work in your heart? So important, the question that I'm asking. I want to repeat this. Can you remember the first time the Holy Spirit started doing His convicting work in your heart? You know, I will never forget it. In 1986, God the Holy Spirit revealed my wretchedness, my wickedness, and my depravity. In 1986. And I remember the Holy Spirit revealing that God is truly holy, that He is perfect in His righteousness, that God is supreme light without any speck of darkness. And I want to share with you, in that moment when the Holy Spirit started doing His work in my heart, I remember calling out, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the greatest of sinners." Friends, I couldn't call out, "Oh God, be merciful upon me, a sinner." I had to say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, the greatest of sinners." And then I was reminded of that beautiful, wonderful, hopeful words of Christ in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus says the following. He says, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me, through me." And you know what? I believed, and I was saved. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. So, friends, what I wanted to share with you about the normal Christian life is that if you are a born-again believer, if you can testify that you've believed, it's impossible to be an undercover agent. It's important what I'm sharing with you, brothers and sisters. If you believe that Jesus is a wonderful, powerful Savior, it's important, it's impossible to be an undercover agent. Dear brothers and sisters, believing in Christ is not a private, personal matter. It is public. It is a public matter. Regardless of who you are and what you are doing, if you're in full-time ministry like Pastor Tiny, or if you're at work, if you believed in Christ, the next step is you will proclaim Christ. Why? Because I was dead, friends, in my sins. I was dead in my sins. Rian, is that on? Okay. I was dead in my sins, but now we are alive in Christ. I was a slave, but I've been set free. I was in darkness, but God brought me to His kingdom of marvelous light. I was blind, but now I can see. Friends, if you believe, you will proclaim. And you know what? In proclaiming, what do we testify about? When we proclaim that we have been washed in the precious blood of Christ, if you proclaim that, you become part of this family. It's a wonderful family, friends. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the household of God. And you can have sweet fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. So we believe, we proclaim, we are born again, and we've got sweet fellowship. And you know what? All of these things that I've just mentioned results in joy. In joy. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, as we open your word, we humbly ask that you may bless your word in every heart. Please speak clearly. Please purify every heart. Please revive every heart. Lord, may the word of life, Christ Himself, be magnified in our midst. May the Holy Spirit, may you work powerfully. Save precious lost people even in this morning, and edify your church. Sanctify your church, Lord. Help us to understand what does it really mean to be a normal Christian, to believe, to proclaim, to have sweet fellowship, and to rejoice in our great Savior who gave His life to set us free. We ask this in the precious name of Christ. Amen. You can open your Bibles. I will be reading from the first epistle of John, in Afrikaans, 1 Johannes, hoofdstuk 1. The first epistle of John, chapter 1, I'll be reading from verse 1. Verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. Verse 3. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Dear friends, I want to start this sermon with a quick introduction, or a concise introduction to the first epistle of John. And you know, the first question that came to mind is, who wrote the epistle of John? I know Pastor Tiny recently preached from a book, but you know, it's always good to remind ourselves, who wrote this letter? This letter was written by the apostle of John. And you know what? The apostle of John was called the apostle of... Sorry, I can't hear you. Yes. The apostle of John was called the apostle of love, because John was a true witness and a personal companion of the Lord Jesus. And he was known as the apostle whom Jesus loved. And he was part of that inner circle. And that inner circle consisted of John and James and Peter. And you know, John witnessed the grace and the truth of the Lord Jesus for 3 years. And firstly, we see that John was called in person by the Lord. I want to quickly go to the Gospel of Matthew. You can go there, or you can just listen to me. John witnessed the grace and the truth of the Lord Jesus for 3 years of his life, and he was called in person by the Lord Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 18. Now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I love this word. Immediately, friends, immediately they left their nets and followed Christ. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Friends, remember that John, the author of the first epistle, was called in person by Christ. Secondly, you know, John saw how Christ raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead. It must be wonderful to experience this. Standing next to Jesus while he raises a young daughter from the dead in front of your eyes. The Gospel of Mark. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verse 57, starting from verse 57. And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. Thirdly, he was a personal witness of the glory of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17. It's important that I share this with you, brothers and sisters, because I want you to see that John was a true eyewitness of the person and the work of Christ. And that was the foundation of his ministry, friends. Matthew chapter 17. I'm reading from verse 1. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make 3 tabernacles here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, listen to this voice, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground and were terrified. You see, he's an eyewitness. John stood, friends, at the foot of the cross when Christ was crucified. Let's quickly go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. We see John standing at the foot of the Christ, looking at his Lord being crucified. John chapter 19, verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple, and you must remember, John is speaking about himself. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple, this is John, whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege. You know, John was also the first disciple to see that the tomb were empty. Isn't it wonderful? You see John standing at the foot of the cross. And then you see that John is the first person that sees that Jesus is alive. He's not on the cross anymore. Let's quickly go to John chapter 20, verse 3. John chapter 20, verse 3. This is the last verse I'm reading for now. John chapter 20, verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple, this is John, went forth and they were going to the tomb. The two were running together. I wonder why John was running so fast. Maybe Pastor Tiny and Mark will have a chat with me afterwards. I need to be mindful now. Maybe it was because he was known as the apostle of love. The two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which has been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, John, who had first come to the tomb, then also entered, and he saw, and he believed. Friends, this is why John is truly an eyewitness. Where was this epistle written? 70 years after the church that started in Jerusalem, between 90 to 95 AD. And now we find John, an old man, most probably in his late 80s, 90s, in the province of Asia, in Ephesus, ministering to that seven churches that's mentioned in Revelation. And you know, I don't think we've got anybody that's 90 years old here this morning. Hands up, please. 90 years old. James, 90? Nobody? Hands up, 90? Hands up? Yes. Okay. Wonderful. Listen. John the Apostle is 90 years old. But friends, he's got a fervent love for Christ and his people. And I must give God the glory for the people in this church, because they've been such a blessing to my own heart, friends. I'm not going to mention names. All the aged people in this church, you know, when you look at John, you see a man that is fervent with a love for Christ and for his people. And you see a man with a pastor's heart. You know, this is something that's lacking in the church of Christ. You see many preachers, but where's the pastors? Where's the shepherds? Where's the people that's got a fervent love for God's people? This is John. Lastly, why did John write this letter? Because friends, these churches were under attack by false teachers, trying to deceive and to mislead God's people. And what did they teach? They said the following: the flesh is evil and the spirit is good. So, Jesus was not fully human, or he was a spirit. And you know what? What was the real focal point of their attack, these false teachers? What was the focal point? The atonement. I need to tell you this. The atonement. Because you know what? Jesus Christ is the perfect sin sacrifice in our stead. And if Jesus was not fully God and fully human, He couldn't reconcile us to God. So now we see the Apostle John writing this letter, and he writes this letter, friends, to encourage them and to encourage you and me, to encourage and restore their confidence in Christ. The joy of their salvation, to give them discernment in terms of false teaching, and to grow the quality of their love and obedience. So, I want to close my introduction by saying, you know, John gives three tests to see that we are truly in Christ. I want to repeat this. John is giving in this epistle three tests to see, and brothers and sisters, test yourself. Are you in Christ? Test number one. Have I confessed all my sins, all my known sins to God? Test number two. Am I walking in obedience in the light of God's Word? Test number three. Am I demonstrating a love for God's people? What is the normal Christian life? That's the topic of this morning. What is the normal Christian life? You know what, friends? It starts with believing. I want us to go back to our text. I'm going to go back to the first epistle of John, chapter 1. What is the normal Christian life? It starts with believing. I once heard a story of that famous evangelist, George Whitefield, witnessing to a man. And he asked the man, "What do you believe?" The man replied, "I believe what my church believes." "And what does your church believe?" the evangelist asked. And he replied, "What I believe." Undaunted, Whitefield tried again and asked, "And what do you both believe?" And the man replied, "Why, we both believe the same thing." So friends, in this morning I want to tell you, a right belief in Christ is crucial for right behavior. Doctrine, practice. So, every one of us need a true saving knowledge of Christ. We need to repent from our sins. We need to trust in Christ alone. We need to receive forgiveness of sins and new life. And we read that in the first epistle of John. Let's go back to our text. The normal Christian life starts with believing. Verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. What do we believe about Christ? You know, John immediately starts with the person of Christ. And he starts by saying three things. And this is so important. Number one, Jesus is fully God. Number two, Jesus is fully man. Number three, in Christ is fullness of life. So Jesus is fully God. What was from the beginning? You know, what was from the beginning? Jesus exists, friends, before creation. He is co-eternal, co-equal, co-existing with the Father and with the Spirit in eternity past. That's Christ. That's the God that we serve. We read, you don't have to go there, I'm just going to read this for us. Read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, from verse 1, we read, listen to the fullness of Christ. He is fully God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Fully God. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. And He, Christ, is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the power, by the word of His power. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Friends, if you and I say that we believe in Christ, then we acknowledge that He is our Lord, and we acknowledge that He has got the right to own us and rule every aspect of your life. That is what believing means. That is the normal Christian life. I'm not speaking about abnormal things. I'm speaking about the normal Christian life. You know, Jesus is not only fully God, He is also fully human, a real historical person. I'm reading again from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Listen to these wonderful words. Jesus is fully human. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, now when we go back to verse 1 in the first epistle of John, we see that John is now giving us three important evidences that Jesus is fully human. He's not a spirit. He is fully God and He's fully human. And He starts off by saying this, what we have heard. You know, I do believe that the voice of Christ was still ringing in John's ears even when he was 90 years old. This words, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What we have heard. The second evidence, what we have seen with our eyes and looked at. You know, John was a true eyewitness to the miracles, to the grace, the truth, the death, the resurrection of Christ. For 3 years, John could look and contemplate who Christ truly is. The third evidence, we could touch you with our hands. Jesus was truly flesh and bones. So friends, what do we believe in as Christians? What do we believe in? Jesus is fully God, He is fully man, and in Him is fullness of life. You know, John states in verse 1, He is the Word of life. Brothers and sisters, the Son of God is life. Jesus is eternal life itself. He is the source of all life. He is the creator of all life. Biological life and spiritual life. And you know what? The wonderful thing about Christ is this. He reveals the mind and heart of God. That's what He's doing. I wrote, Jesus is the final and complete revelation of God. And you know what? We've got His Word in His hands in this moment. Isn't that not wonderful? Let me repeat myself. Jesus is the final and complete revelation of God. And friends, you have got His Word in your hands as I speak. So the question comes to mind. Why is it important? Why is it important to believe that Jesus is fully God and fully man? Why is it important? Those two realities. Who Jesus is, His person and His works. Because, friends, it is only the everlasting Son of God who became flesh and never, ever sinned. That's why. Because it is only the perfect God-man that could reconcile hopelessly lost sinners, if I may be so bold, like each one of us sitting here in front of me, with a perfectly holy and just God. It is only Christ that could bring that perfect sin sacrifice on the cross. And friends, remember, it is only the blood of Christ that can cleanse you from all of your sins. I want to read a statement by B.B. Warfield. Listen to this beautiful statement of B.B. Warfield. The glory of the incarnation is that it presents to our adoring gaze not a humanized God or a deified man, but a true God-man. One who is all that God is and at the same time all that man is, yet without sin. One on whose almighty arm we can rest and to whose human sympathy we can appeal. Is that not a wonderful statement about our Lord and Savior? So friends, the normal Christian life starts with believing. John chapter 3 verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Secondly, now that we believe, now that we say we believe, friends, you will proclaim. I want to repeat myself. With all respect, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't tell me that you believe in Christ, but you're not willing to proclaim Christ. You need to examine yourself if you are truly in Christ. Remember, a Christian is not perfect, friends. We are not perfect. We are different personalities, different people, but I want to testify that when God the Holy Spirit does a convicting work in your heart and you are born again through His Spirit and Christ reigns in your heart, there will be a longing in your heart to share the greatest miracle of all miracles. I was lost, but now I am found. Verse 2. And the life was manifested. 1 John chapter 1 verse 2. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. John is 90 years old, but he couldn't keep silent. Isn't that wonderful? I praise God again for Everglen Baptist Church because I know there's people sitting in front of me that's aged that cannot keep silent about God's grace in their lives. What a beautiful testimony. You know, John is compelled to proclaim because he believed. And what is he complaining. What is he proclaiming? He's proclaiming, friends, that the gospel is true and that Christ is real. What he has seen What he has heard, what he has touched, must be shared, must be spoken about, must be proclaimed. And you see, when John testifies, he testifies as a true eyewitness and his own experience. And this is what testifies means. To testify mean, friends, that you've got first-hand experience. When I stand in front of you and I give my public testimony, I'm testifying about a personal first-hand knowledge and experience. But we see also that John not only testifies, John proclaims, because John had received a personal commission from Christ to proclaim the gospel. Luke chapter 9 verse 1, I'm going to read it quickly for us. And Christ called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. You see, John was called. He received a commission. Now, friends, I want to make a statement that you will never be able to testify and to proclaim Christ if you don't believe in Christ. Never, ever. You've got many preachers that will stand in front of a pulpit and they will speak, but it will be nonsensical because you must have heard the voice of Christ Himself. You must have that personal experience with Him. And you need to feel His touch. He needs to do a transforming work in your heart for His Word and His Spirit before you can testify and proclaim. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed. Because it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. What will happen with Everglen Baptist Church if every one of us is not ashamed? I do believe God will do a wonderful work, friends. John was not ashamed. He boldly proclaimed that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, that He became a man to die, to be raised for our salvation and for God's glory. You know, last night as I was preparing in my office near Cape Town Airport office, because it's nice and quiet, I've got a lovely wife and children, but I just told her, please forgive me, I just want to be Tiny, Pastor Tiny and Mark, brother, you will understand. But anyways, I spoke with a dear brother in Christ last night. Maybe you've met Johan Grobler. Johan Grobler is from Mega Voice Ministry. And they share God's precious word with audio Bibles. And they've reached many unreached people groups with the gospel of Christ. And Johan called me from the middle of Sudan last night with a VoIP call. He called me from the middle of Sudan near the Nuba Mountains. And he was attending a 3-day conference in the Nuba Mountains. Now I want to share something with you, brothers and sisters. Please be encouraged as I share this with you. The majority of those people attending that conference were Muslims. Muslims. And there were imams amongst them. Even the village headman was a Muslim. He attended. And you know, as I was speaking with John, I said, Johan, wow, this the Lord works in mysterious ways. Friends, be encouraged. You know what? The God that we serve is sovereign. He's got control over everything. And He's loving. And you know what? He longs for people to be saved. You know, many of these Muslim families attending this conference lost loved ones, many loved ones, in the war between the north and the south of Sudan. And they were seeking for answers because their Muslim brotherhood killed them. Muslims is killing Muslims in that area. Look how God works. And you know what? Johan had the opportunity to share Christ and to give 250 audio Bibles to avowed Muslims. And he could encourage them to read the Bible and to discover Christ for themselves. And that audio Bibles that Johan gave away contains the Arabic New Testament as well as a full English Bible. And I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, please pray that God would call many of those people to Himself. I've got pictures on my phone where you see the headman listening to the gospel. I want to move on. Friends, the normal Christian life is proclaiming Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, please listen to me. Use every opportunity that you have to proclaim Christ. Every opportunity that you have. Pray that God would give you an eternal perspective on life. In the West, we live for a moment because of our affluence. But brothers and sisters, there is a world outside of us in desperate need of the gospel. And guess what? God has got a purpose and a plan for your life. And He wants to use you to reach people with a message of hope. What is the normal Christian life? To believe, to proclaim, and then to have sweet fellowship with the Lord. Verse 3. 1 John 1 verse 3. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. What is the goal of proclaiming the gospel? So that we may enjoy sweet fellowship with God and one another. You know, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. I'm sorry for my pronunciation, koinonia. And it is described as the mutual life and love of those who are one in spirit. Many a times, if I may share this, Pastor Tiny, many a times when we have our elder meetings, we pray for unity within Everglen Baptist Church. And friends, if you have a right understanding of who Christ is, that He's fully God, fully man, and that in Him is fullness of life, and if you believe in His perfect substitutory sacrifice, you can build your life on a solid foundation, and God, the Holy Spirit, will unite us. Unity. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read it quickly for us. Listen to the words of Paul. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance with one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Can you see John's heart? His desire that sinners would be reconciled to God and that God's people would love one another. Sweet and unbroken fellowship, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, when the blood of Christ purifies you from the inside out, God the Holy Spirit will give you His love. We need to keep close accounts with the Lord. What is the purpose of believing in Christ and sharing His good news? Sweet fellowship. Friends, how do we manifest sweet fellowship? By love. It's difficult for us to love. I'm speaking about myself, first and foremost. The greatest mark of a Christian, friends, is love. I witnessed something interesting in my office. A very interesting incident happened in this week in my office. One of our clients, a lady, came to my office because they wanted to thank a colleague for work well done. It was a Muslim colleague. Friends, listen, I love the Muslim people. It was a Muslim colleague, and she walked to him and she wanted to shake his hand and to say thank you. But as a married Muslim man, he couldn't touch her hand. He said, nope, it's against my religion. It's forbidden to touch, for a married Muslim man, to touch the hand of another woman. And you know what? She was so embarrassed. And she left. But brothers and sisters, what about us? A true Christian should manifest the character of God. Love. You know, when we experience the new birth, it will produce new life and sweet fellowship. I wanted to say that if you want to know what is the quality of your walk with Christ, look at the quality of your relationships within this church at this very moment. Can I repeat myself? If you want to know what is the quality, let me use myself as an example. If Herman wants to know what is the real quality of his walk with Christ, I need to ask myself this question: how is the quality of my relationship with everybody right now in front of me, friends? This is the reality. Let's not fool ourselves. The greatest mark of a Christian is love. And God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son so that we shall not perish but have everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, let's love one another. Listen to John. I want to close. In closing, I want to close. You see, when we believe in Christ, and when we unashamedly proclaim Christ, when we enjoy sweet fellowship with Christ and His people, the end result will always be joy. Listen to John. Verse 4. These things we write, proclaiming, believing, fellowship, so that our joy may be made complete. And in John 3, verse 4, John says the following: I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. So, real joy is believing the saving truth of the gospel, gladly proclaiming the good news, and enjoying sweet fellowship with God's people. I want to close with a statement by Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Lloyd-Jones, listen carefully, made the following wonderful statement. Joy is something very deep and profound. Something that affects the whole and entire personality. In other words, it comes to this. There is only one thing that can give true joy, and that is contemplation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He satisfies the mind. He satisfies the emotions. He satisfies every desire. He and His great salvation include the whole personality and nothing less. And in Him I am complete. Joy, in other words, is the response and the reaction of the soul to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, what is the normal Christian life? Believing, proclaiming, fellowship, and joy to be found in Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in this morning you have again revealed your great love for us, and that is Christ crucified for our sins. So help us to believe, to proclaim, to have sweet fellowship joyously, because you are truly alive and you have risen. We pray in your precious name. Amen.